June 24, 2020, it's a Live from Pedro show.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro Show. Happy Wednesday. Brother Matt at the Love Grotto, Pleasure Point, a couple miles south from here because we're still quite in quarantino mode. But due to those Estonian software engineers with their great Skype invention, I am not man alone here in my pad. I got Brother Paige Hamilton here. you're in SoCal, right? What part?
I am. I'm up in Glendale.
Glendale. Wow. Nails. Yeah. Glendale told me the hombres there are pretty tough because they got not a lot of crime, so they just cruise looking for trouble to make.
I love it. I just got here. I just moved here in March. I'd been renting for a while from a buddy, and I just moved up here in March during the pandemic, and it's great, man. It's great.
I mixed my first opera there.
Oh.
A big Armenia community.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. A lot of half of my neighbors speak Armenian. Right. I can't word.
The last name, I-A-N.
Yeah.
Well, I think oldest Christian church and stuff. People don't know. It's east part of the valley, or it's its own valley in a kind of way.
Yeah, I look out and I can see a mountain on the left and the right, and I guess that's Burbank over there, and some east of Burbank.
And right around there's a trippy place where I started playing a pad called Sun Valley.
Oh.
In the hidden hills and stuff, and it's where we lost Tony 19 from the Dills. I saw him at a hospice right before. It was a heartbreaker, man. Yeah, Dills had big effect on us, and he was just big inspiration.
Wow.
But, look, let's tell people we started off with John Coltrane live in Stockholm 1961 with Eric Dolphy on the bass clarinet with him doing impressions. And then you with a project called Main Title and something called Chicago Cab. So you want to enlighten us to anything about that tune?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry. I was waiting to hear some music. I forget. We're going to do that.
We already heard it. Now I'm telling the listeners.
Okay. I was on the road and I can't even remember who approached me, but they asked me to score this movie and I said I'd love to. So I was basically on the road and at the time, using one of those, cassette 4-track machines to record. So I was just taking my evenings and, you know, mornings and days off and working. And I'd fly over to New York and record some tracks and fly over to LA for, you know, and record some tracks. And it was fun. It was super lo-fi. I had a Farfisa organ that my wife at the time owned and a harmonica, which I don't really play. So I kind of taught myself to riff on it. And then I got my friend Wharton Tears, who is a great producer, engineer back in New York.
Absolutely. Where I got to record with Bob Klein and he was
Quine at the Mojo Guitar Shop many, many years ago.
Everybody told me he's going to tear your head off, Watt. He ended up being the nicest guy in the world. We did Visions and Johanna Freeze.
Oh, cool. He's a great dude. Yeah, he was really, really nice. He would have cocktails and be hanging out in Mojo and just, you know, be funny. But Wharton is, as you know, a great, great drummer as well.
Right, right. He's got an ensemble, right?
Yeah, Wharton Tears Ensemble. So Wharton did the Helmet album, Strap It On, and then he recorded the Meantime album. And so I said, hey, you know, can you lay some drums down on this movie thing I did? Because I had a drum machine going. So that groove is Wharton.
Wow. And, everything else is good. You know, Bob Klein told me the first dude he saw play electric guitar? Buddy Holly.
Oh, my God. Oh,
1957.
Man.
Right, the year I was born in Cano Hop. He's also the dude who recorded all 23 Velvet Underground Cleveland gigs.
Oh, what? Quine?
I shit thee not, Brother Pig.
Wow, holy shit, man, yeah. That's funny, I've been on this Waylon kick lately, and, you know, we have all this downtime, so I'm watching interviews and listening to music of various people, and he's, you know, when he was 20 years old and playing with Buddy, you know, obviously we know he gave up his seat or whatever, but yeah, God, that's amazing.
He had a big influence on D Boone. In fact, that Strat he's got on the back of the Voidoid album, D Boone went and got one just like it because he was.
No way, really?
Yeah. And then, they cover a Creedence song. In fact, it's the only fucking Creedence song that Tom wrote, the older brother.
Yeah.
And I asked Richard Hell about that, and he said that was Bob's idea.
Oh, wow.
And then
I got
to record it. Ivan, the other guitar man, he had a studio with Dougie by Max Fish.
Dougie Bowen?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Small world, right?
Wow, God,
can
that's
we go
crazy,
back
yeah.
with you musically? What is your earliest musical recollection, Brother Page?
Oh, my would be carsick, being carsick in the back of Mom and Dad's station wagon, you know, and Dad put on the AM radio and an America song called "Horse with No Name" came on, and it cured me from carsickness. It's when I first realized I kind of went inside and started picking the music apart in my brain down the winding Oregon roads from Portland to Medford, where I was, you know, my brother and I were born in Portland, and we, you know, ended up in Medford, Southern Oregon. But yeah, it's funny. I've had all these years to think about this stuff, and that's kind of when I started getting inside the music more. And I didn't end up playing for another probably 7 years. I was 10 at the time, and I started late. But yeah, that song. And
Medford,
I
finally got to play in Medford.
Where'd you play?
God, what was it called?
Howie's?
The Honky Tonk. Some kind of place with Honky Tonk in the name.
Oh,
this is only a couple years ago. It's downtown.
Yep, I know it. I know it well. I did a rock camp with kids there for the Brit Festival, and we had our concert there, the Honky Tonk. It's upstairs, right?
That's right. I remember this dude comes into the promoter.
Cool.
It was an outside promoter guy, and he said, "Look, I told you, Friday and Saturdays is country." And he starts having me a rap with about music and.
It had kind of a silly name though, like Honky Tonk. What the heck was it? I don't think it's there anymore. But
this was
funny.
January 7th, 2017. No, February 2017.
Oh wow!
Maybe
yeah,
it's had several lives. Maybe it's had incarnations.
Yeah, Helmets played there twice now, and it took us, you know, 25 years to get there. But we played this place called Howie's. Howie's on Front was really, it's really fun.
Well, in the pad where you grew up, was there musical instruments?
No, I had a neighbor who had an electric guitar who was a rich kid. I picked it up and he had a bunch of toys on the ground. So I picked up a plastic airplane and I started strumming it and I couldn't put it down. And,
the airplane?
So yeah, the little plastic airplane using the wing as a pick. And I was
I see.
And I was just fascinated by it. And my first guitar hero was this guy named Curtis Bosworth, who was a local guitar hero. And I remember he had a band called Domino Theory Spook. And then he had another band called, Bosworth Brothers, him and his two brothers. And I thought, man, that guy's amazing. And I just got fascinated by it. But Mom and Dad had music on all the time. You know, they were into Ella and George Shearing and Dixieland stuff, and then stuff like Brothers Four, Puff the Magic Dragon, and then my dad's a big country guy because he likes as he said, he liked the words. So I heard all that music, and it just kind of soaked it up. But
What was the first record you bought for yourself?
First record I bought was that America album.
You know what was the first thing I thought of when I heard that America song?
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what they were? They were kids of U.S. soldiers.
Army kids, yeah.
In England. But when I heard it, first thing I thought was, hearing a little Neil Young here.
Yeah, I know, definitely, yeah.
And I think he's from Winnipeg. What about school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
I did the choir thing when I was in grade school, and I didn't like it at all. Because we were doing like nothing could be finer than to be in Carolina, and I just, you know, like wearing like blue bow ties, and I was like, man, this is stupid. And then by high school when I got my first guitar, I was a huge Zep. I loved Zep, Sabbath, you know, all those amazing bands that were, you know, kind of new at the time. And
well, what was the first gig you went to?
First gig I saw was Jethro Tull, and that was I was 16 in 76, at MacArthur Court in Eugene, Oregon, and it was pretty mind-blowing.
You know my first gig?
No.
It was with D. Boone, and it was T-Rex at the Long Beach Auditorium.
Oh, man.
You know what? Everybody says that.
Oh, my God.
Every time I tell people that, they always say that.
How old were you guys? Like
14.
12, 13? 14? 14? God, oh, Mike. How did D. Boone get so good so young, man? It's amazing. You guys have started young. I didn't start till I was 17, so.
And it was because of this Bosworth guy.
Bosworth guy, yeah, it's Curtis Bosworth, and then Jimmy, then I saw Jimmy Page on that. I was watched the Led Zeppelin movie. I used to smoke a lot of weed, you know, lousy weed back then.
Oh, yeah, no buds.
Yeah, no buds. It was, you know, four finger, $10 bags, you know, and I grew pot plants on my parents' roof and you know, would go shoot hoops, and Dad's like, you keep getting on the roof. I'm like, yeah, I can't make that reverse layup, Dad, but I had to water the plants
the good thing was you didn't have to smoke a lot to get a headache.
Exactly.
I mean, it was fucking lame. I tried to tell, that's where the word MERS comes from. And not merch, but MERS. It's $100 a pound. Look, I'm going to play King of the Moon here.
Oh, cool.
We choose to go to the moon.
Uh-oh, something is wrong.
Another
Thank you. just about that. Nature's kids. I like to drink some of the elderflower wine. I'd like to swim in the brook.
size of your tongue. There's a whole mask of that you've seen in Dr. Blisters on my fingers when I tried to hang on. Got broken bones in my hands from where I tried to hang on to you. Yeah, there's a hole in my skull. Shot up, burnt down, spot in my brain where you used to live. Too weak to haul it around, so I.
the good old days. I saw that era. I saw Rush when I was that same age.
Oh, I did too. I fell asleep. It was the 21, the opera.
Well, yeah, 2112 tour.
Funny,
yeah.
Because I saw him 30 years later. This lady wanted to see him. Her boyfriend liked him or something when she was a kid, and I fell asleep at that one too.
Book oh, no
30
way.
Years apart. Yeah, Pinchy went.
That's
okay,
hilarious.
Let's tell the listeners what we just heard. That was Kingdom on the Moon. Mulumbo and Paige Hamilton, some of his early explorations with the pros and cons. Pat Ruffensmeer, we also know him as Pat Smear from the Germs, with his...
yes.
Here's one of the last songs he wrote with Darby called Golden Boys. Darby wrote the words. This trippy SST solo record he made. A lot, people got to check it out. Paul Rosser really helped. And then Paul's sister, Kay, because she calls herself Kay Salida in this manifestation. Ha-ha. And Damon Smith with his solo stand-up bass album tune Word with No Back to It. Maya from up in the city, Papa Magic Goat. Hi-Fi Club out of France, brand new with Cavella. Bilge Pump out of Leeds in England, Fireworks. Schizo Fuel, he's going to be on Saturday. He's out of Amarillo, hombre.
Maria.
Yeah, right. And then finally, Helmet with Welcome to Algiers. Paul Boswell and Mr. Burroughs and all that. So, okay, what about the thing, Paige, about like after school with the basement band or the garage band or the bedroom band? Did you do that stuff?
Didn't happen till I was in college, because okay. I got my guitar when I was 17, and my parents said, you're going to college. And so Dad was split in college with me until I got put on academic probation and then got threatened to get kicked out of the dorms, because all I wanted to do was drink. And then I got my guitar, and I got this teacher at the university named Gary Hagberg, and I said, I really want to be a musician. I don't want to be a pre-med. He said, if you want to do it bad enough, you can do it. So I just started practicing 12 hours a day and put my nose to the grindstone. And then I formed a band called, the other guitar player wanted to call it Twist and the Ups. And we would do like my tunes would be kind of these free jazz rock jams, and our drummer would stand on his throne and read from the Communist Manifesto, and then we'd do like a Clash song, and what else did we do? I think we did a Police song. We played a couple frat parties or whatever,
so this was like it was a dorm band.
A dorm band, yeah,
can
exactly.
Can I tell you about another dorm band that had a huge effect on the Minutemen?
Yeah.
Urinals.
Yeah, I've read that.
UCLA well, dorm, they were film students.
Really?
I wouldn't shit you. But these guys, they didn't even know, right? They picked straws who was going to play what.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, because this is what really excited us about the movement, man. You would meet people like this. They didn't copy off records. They just, let's start a fucking band. And in fact... The amp they got, they saw it had two inputs. So we don't need to buy another amp. The guitar and the bass, they pulled it and said, fuck. And that record, Vetus produced, that Surfing with the Shaw, the drums, paper head. Man, this one cost like no money because it had paper heads. It was a little kid drum.
That's amazing.
So you didn't really start composing. You did like me and D. Boone. You learned off records.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like, I loved Allman Brothers, and I'd try to pick a song out, you know, and just put the record down and fumble through. And then I wanted to learn Stairway to Heaven, and my teacher, I had two guitar lessons, and he wouldn't teach it to me. He said it was too hard, so I fired him. And got another guy, and this guy was like, do you like jazz music? And I was like, that's what my mom and dad listen to. So I... Once I heard George Benson, I was like, how do you play the guitar like that? And I kind of had two directions going at once. So I through Benson, I discovered Miles. Through Miles, I discovered everyone that plays on Kind of Blue. Bill Evans, Cannonball, Mr. PC, and, our hero, John Coltrane, Wynton Kelly. And Philly Joe.
And in the book where Miles, Red Garland, I hated that motherfucker. Can you believe that? Yeah, too busy.
Too busy. Oh,
yeah,
God,
like,
I love
like him. Like Jamal,
I saw Ahmad Jamal probably 1985 or something like that.
Yeah, but Miles could have got him in the band. Why didn't he get him in the band?
I know. I don't know. I
you know what I'm talking about, right? This Quincy Troupe book.
Yeah. I think Red was his thing. Did he do smack or was it drinking? I forget what it was.
I don't know, but Miles, like, puts him down all the time. He says he was trying to cluttered shit up.
His playing, his playing on Soul Train.
Oh, yeah.
Russian
Love. Miles says more crazy shit in that book than you can even believe, you know.
I know, I can't, yeah. I watched the Miles doc, too, all this downtime, and I got my friend's Netflix account because I don't have a television, but I watched it on my laptop, and, I love Miles, obviously, but got some of the stuff that I just, you know, I knew he did smack and had the coke thing, but, it, you know, him, like, Francis, his beautiful wife, and you know, kind of the violence, it was...
Oh, yeah, but the other lady, too, the actress, Cecily Tyson?
Cecily Tyson.
I hit her when she pulled the weave or something. There's some quotes in that thing that are so crazy.
Yeah, I know. He was... I think it's good
to read it. You know what's a good one is the Charlie Mingus Beneath the Underdog. There's a lot of bullshit in that one probably, too, but there's something about it, you know? They're musically written kind of intense.
I haven't read that one, though. I love the... Bird is kind of my all-time, you know, I mean, Bird changed everything for everyone. Obviously, when Train was talking about him and Benny Golson going to see Bird, and they were like, what the hell? And that book called Bird.
You know where Redondo Beach is, right?
Yeah, my brother used to live in Laguna for a minute.
Well, that's Orange County. That's way south. But
Redondo's
by about Hermosa. It's about 60 miles from Pedro on the west side.
Okay.
But that's where... After Charlie Parker, they put him in Camarillo for swallowing that iodine.
Yeah.
John Coltrane was on tour, and he got to jam with Bird in this pad in Redondo Beach. And there was a club that you'll see some old Miles records from. It's called The Lighthouse, and that was in Hermosa Beach. Dezzo's daddy from Black Flag, he used to book it.
No way. Oh, my God. Holy shit, man. God.
Ain't that a trip?
That's such a trip.
Into jazz. So you're asking this teacher guy to show. What town is this? Is this Eugene? What town did you go to?
Yeah, it was Eugene.
You were Ducks. Okay.
I went up there. I got in my Volkswagen.
You know what guitar player lives there now?
No.
Zoot Horn Rollo.
Huh.
From Captain Beefheart. Yeah.
Bill. What?
Harkalode. Yeah. And he'll give you lessons via Skype.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's why I tour.
I got turned on to Beefheart from Zappa, who I saw in 1980 in Eugene, like Trout Mask Replica and all that stuff, you know, Clear Spot and Spotlight Kid, all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's great music, man.
Yeah.
Wow. That's cool. He lives in Eugene. Interesting. Wow.
I recommend a book on Cat Beefheart, Mike Barnes, the second edition. I mean, he goes through all, you know, he did music for 17 years. He made 12 records. You can go through the recording of each tune and on YouTube.com, hear the song, and read about it.
Whoa, cool. Mike Barnes.
I recommend that. Yeah, Mike Barnes, the second edition, because he gets to talk to Art Tripp, the other drummer, Ed Marimba.
Yeah.
And also, they found that Berman guy. They thought that was just a made-up dude. He actually wrote words for the captain on the first few records.
Wow. That's funny.
Ain't that a trip? But, Bill Harkalode, they were really young. So you know, the Captain Frank was from the desert, right? Well, there was another wave, younger guys, and that's where John French and his friends, Mark Boston, which was Rocket Morton, and Bill Harkalode, Zoot Horn Rollo. By the Captain wants all young people, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of, he don't want the guys from the group he grew up with. So
easier
to mold. You know, Tom Watson played for Mayo Thompson, Red Crayola, and said that the captain told him, you know, sometimes to run a band, you got to be like Hitler. And that's where, and it made total sense, because in this book, Ry Cooter says, yeah, I was getting a little brown shirt. We're at the end of the first hour.
It's crazy.
June 24, 2020. Special guest Paige Hamilton, hold tight for hour two. June 24, 2020. It's the second hour of the Lot for Pedro show.
How many times before have I crossed that ugly bridge into depression, lethargy, and anger, only to find myself lost, too tired to get out of the maze, wondering why I was sick, waiting forever for an answer, which is the final combination of drugs that release me from my symptoms and put me on a path to productivity. But in a lifelong state of anxiety, I still feel echoes of anger. I am fighting off bad thoughts, trying to do the right thing. I can be a better human being. It's easy to do the right thing, to live right, eat good and laugh, to love and care and have a purpose, to really care about life. Now I have a work order day. I live a life in service. My medicine, my life, my organization all keep me fairly safe in remission, but I still hear the terrible call of a distant anarchic rage. It's just easier to ignore now.
People say you're riding high in April, you're shut down in May, but I know I'm gonna change that tune when I'm back on top in June. I say that's life. As funny as it may seem, some people get their kicks stomping on a dream, but I don't let it get me down. 'Cause this old world just keeps spinning around. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, and a king. I've been up and down and over and out, and I know one thing. Each time I find myself flat on my face, I pick myself up and get back in. Thought I'd quit, baby, but my heart just won't buy it. And if I didn't think it was worth just one more try, I rolled myself up in a big ball and died. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn, and a king. I've been up and down, over and out. I know one thing. Each time I find myself laying flat on my face, I just pick myself up and I get back. Deny it. I thought of quitting, baby, but my heart just won't buy it. If I didn't think it was worth one more try, I'm gonna roll myself up in a big bowl.
And Elliot's responsible for kind of getting me into this, you know, I don't know, taking the noise and feedback that I like to do, you know, for guitar solos and Helmet, and turning it into something that works in this these films. And I learned so much from him.
I found out a lot of dudes, stuff like the last drummer for Cat Beefheart, we were talking off air, people about Cat Beefheart. And Cliff Martinez, right? He never got to play a gig, but he did Ice Cream for Crow. But he got into this movie. He does huge with soundtracks now.
Yeah, it's fun. I met Ricky Murata, who played with Steely Dan, one of my heroes, when I did that movie Heat with Elliot. I think I might have put a song on there from that movie. And it was amazing. Here's this guy I grew up, you know, listening to, and he was just so open to my weird shit. Like, and really, another guy that I loved, bass player, we did this movie called Across the Universe, T-Bone Walk, you might know. He was on the SNL band. He played with Hall & Oates for years. And when I was a limo driver in New York, and I drove him home after Saturday Night Live one night, and he's like, "What are you working on?" And he said, "Oh, I'm doing this Elvis Costello album." I can't remember the album off the top of my head, but it was cool. And so I gave him a Helmet cassette tape, and then years later, I ended up working with him on this movie. And like these great, I don't know, great cats. Just like they were open, you know, our stuff, you know, a different kind of thing, even though they're, you know, playing more straight ahead pop music.
You know, I found that happened around the 90s. Because, you know, in the early days of the movement, man, you even use the P word and people are like, "Fuck you, man." Especially rock and rollers. Rock and rollers really hated it. More than Square Johns. I should tell the people what we heard. We heard a Angry Hero, Patrick Crisp, Inherit the Viper.
Oh, yeah, cool.
That's what you put for credits there, Paige.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Patrick Kirst, a composer friend of mine, I do about three movies a year with him as a just guitar guy. And that was this movie with Josh Hartnett it was a Swedish director guy. So I love working with Patrick because he, if I'm not doing it, we did his Kissing Booth movies, which are pretty mainstream, and I'm just playing like, you know, pop guitar stuff. But the Inherit the Viper was the one that let me kind of explore and, do some stuff with pedals and everything. So that was really, really fun track. It's really great working with him.
Yeah, then we heard Ig and the Stooges, Tokyo 2004, Little Electric Chair, Dex Ron Weber from the Flat Duo Jets, great guitar man, Trouble in the World. Yeah, one of the first guys to make a band without a bass player, that poor, lonely, naked kick drum, you know. I think his name was Crow, right? That drummer, wild guy. And Dan Hoof with a brand new album, Future Teenage Cave Artist. Greg Sarnier living here now in SoCal. Dietrich and Barnes, a guitar man, one of the guitar from Dear Hoof with a thing with Tim Barnes. Thela Lands on Comet 67P, Trinov Gurameshmenko. That's a title, man. Then Joe Brewer with the Distant Rage. Oh, Joe Brewer, his cousin Jack Brewer, Sacred Trust singer.
Yeah.
And Joe Biza, the guitar man, he didn't start guitar till he was 27, Paige.
What?
And Vincent didn't paint till his last 10 years. So you're never too late, you know, just because you weren't a teenager or a Mozart child prodigy. Yeah.
I agree. I tell people that all the time. I've been doing these Q&As with the School of Rock kids, and they have an adult program, and this guy was 60 years old, and he said, "I just started. Is it too late?" And I said, "It's never too late. You can, you know, you play music if you love it, and it's, you know, it's always going to provide something, you know, for you, inspiration and get you through the days."
Expression.
Never.
We had That's Life from Bono, Good Thief.
Yeah, that was a movie I did with Elliot, this guy Neil Jordan, the director who did Interview with a Vampire, and I got to work on two of his movies. And they said we're going to get the guy from U2 in, and I'm like, "That's cool." So I did the great bass man Rufus Reed. He's playing the upright on that.
Yeah,
and I got to see him with Kenny Burrell in a little duo in New York at the Village Gate.
I saw Kenny Burrell here in Pedro.
Oh, he's
Dezzo's daddy booked it at the Hyatt. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah, phenomenal, right?
Yeah, he had his guitar back in the old days.
Yeah, I mean Duke's
big
favorite
headstock. Guitar. Big fan headstock.
Yeah,
what's Uber Zone?
Uber Zone's was an Orange County kind of drum and bass band that what are those? Not Chemical Brothers. What's that band that said they were influenced by them? Big band, Chemical something. Man, they're big. Anyway, he's a kind of a drum and bass guy. And I met him through a friend, and he said we should do something together. So we wrote this song. I was just in a hotel room in Fullerton. I was still living in New York at the time. And just wrote this song and brought it in, and he did all that stuff, that weird, those sounds that start are guitar sounds. We were running them through those Moog pedals. He's a genius with manipulation, like the kind of Brian Eno taking Moog stuff and processing the guitars. So it was really fun.
Friptronics.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's listen.
Thank you. true story of my life. Take it to the barrel house. This is some of that good old whorehouse piano. That's another Lou Reed song. I'm sure he
there goes
really
that lust line again.
Yeah. Called the story of my life. Well, that story of my life. Well, that's the difference between wrong and right. But you know, Billy, he said that both those words are dead. So that's the story of my life. Well, that's the story of my life. You know, that's the difference between wrong and right. But Billy said that both those words are dead. And that's the story of my life. Take me down to the barrel house now. That's the difference between wrong and right. But Billy said that both those words are dead. And that's the story of my life.
There we were.
Why for Pedro show? Why for Pedro show? You heard the beginning of that chunk of music? Uber Zone with Frequency. That's Paige singing and playing guitar. Barry Berko Band from Tel Aviv after that with House of Stag, Magnet Hearts. That's Jonathan Hall's new proj. Here, SoCal with Transcend. Midnight Minds, the Alpha Cassette, Do the Locomotion. Not the locomotion you're thinking of, though. Peter Lochner after that, Old Time Cleveland. That's the Story of My Life. Tom Herman with Tripod Jimmy. Tom told me, Lenny, the bass man, Tripod Jimmy, heart trouble, so everybody pulling for him. This Little Pill. Little Foot from Paul Motion. And finally, Elliot Goldenthal, SWAT. Don't shoot me, baby. I guess, like, yeah, when I say the second name like that, it's like the movie that Brother Page did the music for. And, I mean, he'd be here to tell you about it, but it's a fucking pilot air shit. I spaced in missing a little chunk of his conversation. So sorry. Oh, yeah. June 24, 2020, edition of Peter Show. Special guest, Paige Hamilton. Hold tight for hour three.
Yeah, we did. I got to do.
Oh, you're talking about like the Shakespeare, Miranda.
Shakespeare play, yeah. Elliot's wife is a great filmmaker named Julie Taymor, and she did. We did a couple of Shakespeare. She did Titus, the Titus movie, and Shakespeare play.
And this is the last one. I mean, Tempest. They did write.
Yeah.
There's a whole debate on that. Well, let's listen.
Sorry.
June 24, 2020. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
Change that tune on a reckless honeymoon. Cruise lines to the island. Gourmet food to dine on. Breeze, sunshiny ocean air. Enjoy 2 weeks without a care. Daddy, what a discovery. Love is by land, is love by sea. Baby, how you brainwash me. Save a piece for goodness sake.
All the crap that you make.
Darling, what a discovery. Love if I land is love if I see. Baby, how you brainwash me.
Well, Atlantis Aquarius.
Watch for Pedro's show start off the third hour with, well, you could hear Paige talking about it. This was some music for The Tempest, which was kind of about the New World and Lava Dogs with Elliot Goldenthal.
Yeah, we did a concert in the, they had a new nice concert hall there in Krakow, Poland, a couple of years ago, where they were all doing all Shakespeare music related to Shakespeare plays that were made into movies and stuff. And they took the guitar stuff I did, transcribed it, and wrote suites, which was interesting because when you're improvising something, you know, and then you see some weird like. You know, quarter note triplet tied over to a half note triplet on a page. I'm like, what the hell is this? And they're like, that's what you played. So I had to try to figure out what I played on this score. But it was really, really fun. And we got to play in this beautiful concert hall, not unlike the Disney Hall. It's one of those acoustically magical places. And
did it have the exploding French fry organ pipes?
No, it didn't have that.
No, I think that's Frank Gehry, right? He did the aquarium here in Peter.
Yeah. Frank Gehry. It's beautiful. That's one of my regular kind of concert stops. Is the Disney Hall. I love our orchestra.
He's got a great.
God, he's amazing.
In Bilbao with that Guggenheim.
Yeah.
It's like three boats like colliding.
Yeah, I know. It's incredible. Yeah.
And we had Wasted Space doing Dottie Crane with Tooth Walks Alone, Living More, Walk Alone, working on a building from Atlantis Aquarius, Paul Jacobs, Set and Sun, and finally, Dream Baby from another Elliot Goldenthal, Elizabeth Fraser in Dreams.
Yeah, that was a fun thing. Whenever I did these tracks with the people, most of them I didn't sit in the room with, but except for the Bono one, we sat in the room together. But the Elizabeth Fraser, I loved her voice, and so I thought that was, I don't know if the movie was great, but I thought Elliot wrote some amazing music for that. And so they're always encouraging me to kind of get these messed up guitar sounds, because like, the helmet thing is more sort of thick, there's more low end and these, you know, drop tune things, and so it's, you know, they like stuff to be, I don't know, kind of noisy and messy, which is cool. So
did you ever see like Black Sabbath during those first four or five records?
No, I never saw them live, sadly.
I saw maybe three, four times. The last one was Killing Yourself. No, it's called Bloody Sabbath.
I played Sabbath, yeah,
and
yeah.
It was at the California Jam.
I've seen live footage.
And they opened
that.
Up with Killing Yourself to Live.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And to me, you know, I like all four of them. Master Reality could have been recorded better, but, man, such great songs, Into the Void.
Yeah. Oh, I guess it's incredible.
And
phenomenal.
You know, found out Geezer wrote the words.
Yeah, exactly. I've been going back to those albums since this pandemic hit, like, and just, I don't know why you go through these phases, and they sound better than they ever did to me. It's just, the music's so incredible, and Bill Ward, phenomenal.
Bill Ward, Paranoid, 8-track, right? Half the tracks are drums.
Yeah, it's incredible, man. It's so good. Ozzy, we did that Jerky Boys movie a million years ago, and Ozzy said, you guys should do War Pigs, and I'm like, you know, I just nodded and smiled because everybody's covered that song. So we did Symptom of the Universe off of Sabotage.
Oh,
and it was
yeah.
Fun. And we've been doing it on the Helmet 30th anniversary tour.
Is Blue in the Sky, or is that Technic? See, they got into the synthesizers, and I guess the boss was actually the guitar man. Every time I saw them, Ozzy stood on the side.
Oh, really?
I wouldn't shit you, Paige.
Yeah.
So, and he clapped during the fucking guitar solos. He was like a cheerleader. Yeah, it was much different than the Ozzy band.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I know. And Geezer would, one time he had like see-through, like a belly dancer outfit and just going crazy. And Bill Burton had a big cock shell behind his.
That's amazing. I heard one tour they took LSDs 30 days in a row or something crazy. Like, how the hell could they perform, man? My brain.
I know Volume 4 was done at Malibu, and that was all cho-cho and shit.
And, oh, wow.
But that's when they bring in the keyboards, but still good record. Just good fucking.
Yeah. Yeah.
That song, no, Supernaut, man, with that bass lick. Oh, man.
Yeah, I know, man.
Talk
it's
about
incredible.
A glitch. You want a glitch? That's a glitch. I want to play here, Oh Mistress Mine.
Oh, cool, yeah.
Oh, Mistress Mine, where are you roaming? Oh, stay and hear your true love's coming, that can sing both high and low. Trip no further, pretty sweet and journeys end in lovers meeting. Everywhere's meant something known. What is love? 'Tis not hereafter, present mirth at present laughter.
shower praying for dead children. I hope they go away so I can live. It's not that I wouldn't love them, it's just I'll always be too young to die. Shaking in their bones. Are you shaking in your bones? Is you playing with your phone? Are you searching the whole wide world over, baby, for a spot that your soul can feel at home? children. Yeah, I'm praying to a God they may not believe in. And I'm asking again all those questions. Like, where's the music to make you alive? Can you hear the song of your future bride? Is it still playing in your head? Why they always want to hear all of the music that's dead.
that it is so.
Watt for Pedro Show. Last music for this edition. A couple Shakespeare things again. Oh, Mistress Mine. Elliot Goldenthal, Reeve Carney, singer man, from The Tempest. Then Armadillo Man, some brand new out of Shanghai. They're low-eye guys. foreigners, but they've been living there years, and they came to Pedro, and I produced a record. Heat, something you did for Bobby De Niro's in this movie, right?
Yeah, De Niro and Pacino. Yeah,
Kronos, and this is with the Kronos Quartet people.
Yeah, that was the first movie I did with Elliot. It turns out a guy, Tim Carr, who had tried to get Helmet over to Warner Brothers, was working on a soundtrack, and Elliot asked about the Glenn Branca stuff, and Tim's like, I have this guy that played with Glenn, and so he brought me in. He said, can you get a couple guitar players together and put together a little ensemble? And he called us the Deaf Elk Orchestra, because we were all, you know, very loud and tall. And that's my publishing company now, Deaf Elk Orchestra. But he, some of it was improvised, and some of it Elliot would have stuff written out. We'd play. That's where I met Ricky Murata, because he and I did we were kind of jamming on a track for the helicopter scene, which I think they ended up using a different song for. But it's really, really fun. It really kind of opened my eyes to a lot of the possibilities, because Elliot would always talk about how the guitar is so orchestral. And it's the distorted electric guitar works with strings so beautifully, you know. And
yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
You can tell the fuzz guitar has roots in saxophone, if you ask me.
Absolutely.
A Knoxville, Oh Man, Fuck You. That's Steve Gigante, who was in Deer Hoof for a little while. In the Shower, Praying for Dead Children. And finally, Prosperous Coda from The Tempest. L.A. Goldenthal, Beth Gibbons.
Yeah, that's from Portishead. Another really cool voice. That we got kind of
Bristol, the town the pop group's from.
She's from Bristol?
I think that band Portishead is.
Oh, cool. And also Portland, the artist Banksy, right?
That's right. And Tricky. And Tricky.
Yeah, we had a nice time there. Met some people. We wanted to find a little out of the way place to eat some English food. Our drummer was very advanced and had an iPhone at the time and Yelp or something like that. So we found this little restaurant, and the people at that probably restaurant had like five tables in it, and the people were so kind and nice, and we had put them all on the guest list, and they gave us a tour of Bristol, so we saw a lot of cool artwork, obviously Banksy paintings. That's a great, great town, man.
Yeah,
really.
He saved a boxing club by just putting a painting on the hatch because it was worth so much money.
Wow. Incredible, yeah.
Where can people find you on the internet?
We got helmetmusic.com, and then there's a page, hamiltonmusic.com is my website that's kind of a mess, but it's there. And
that's great, but it's yours. It's your fanzine. There's no middleman, no filter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And what do you got planned next? What are you working on
right now? We're just about finishing up with this movie that was filmed in Hong Kong called Painted Beauty. I did a score, and we're getting some string quartet stuff on there now. I just got commissioned to write a piece for the Christian Brothers High School in Memphis, Tennessee, the oldest high school band in the country, 150 years old. So I'm going to write, that's a brass and woodwind piece. And then, I'm going to actually start on a Helmet record, because we have a bunch of 7 inches. We wanted to do a tour where we kind of play some music from our heroes, including Gang of Four and Wire and Killing Joke and those bands that, had a big influence
on
us.
That record called Killing Joke, right?
God, it's so good. We've done.
I saw that tour. They played the Whiskey, and it was such. You know these bands like Tool and stuff, right? They all. That's the sound.
Yeah, incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Man. And they were all really distinct personalities. One guy looked exactly like Sid Vicious.
Yeah, God, phenomenal.
Right?
Yeah, I didn't, it sounded so
good. One guy looked rockabilly, but I mean the sound was just incredible.
I know.
One
guy
had paint on his face.
Yeah, so good. Yeah, I love them.
Went into a bunch of incarnations, but I will always remember it. And like every song, the title was what you sang 8 times in the chorus.
Yeah.
Look, when you get this Helmet album done, will you come out on the show and we can talk about it? Because we didn't really get into Helmet that much. Because
that'd
I wanted
be
people
great.
To go through your journey of music. But I would like to focus. So when this record comes out, you come back on what, Pedro Show?
I would love to, Mike. Thanks.
Okay. Beautiful. It's been such an honor, man. You've been a guitar hero for me for a long. You know the politics of bass, right? We look good making you guys look good. People, it's been June 24, 2020. Just watch Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.
Yeah.